That's brilliant. Thank you so much, Pete. Let me just get this going. Yeah, hang up. Bear with me. I might need Martin. Do you want to do that for me? Right. I think I got it. Is that it? Yeah, that's great. Good morning. Yeah, what a fantastic just time we've had together. And do you know, just thank you, Pete, Nikki. It's always a real joy and a real pleasure to be able to share just what God's put on my heart. And Gary and I, we were chatting, my husband, we were chatting just how many days we've actually been out of the country this year, and it's over 100 that we've been away doing work, but it's been exciting. So it's always great to be back here with our Skylark family, and we love this series that we're doing, Who You Say I Am. And what I love, we haven't been able to hear all the talks, I have to admit, but last week Pete did one on a fantastic talk. I love when you hear something and you get to put it to use the very next week. And Gary and I were doing some work, and I was going to prepare this talk, you know, wrapping up some things. And I looked at an email, and I thought, oh, I don't want to deal with this right now. And so I said, hey, babe, can you take a look at this and can you deal with it? And he looked at it and went, nope. And I kind of went, now my husband's really kind. Some of you are like, really? And I went, babe, I thought I'd push it a little farther. Babe, as my husband, can you deal with this? And he looked at me without missing a beat, and he said, Pen, the Lord is your husband and your maker. Meaning, implying, you know what? This is yours to deal with, and he'll give you the grace when you need to deal with it. And then without skipping a beat, he said, so he just said, the Lord said, and then he said, and Pete said, I'm not going to carry what's not mine to carry. So I love it. But he's great. But, you know, it's over and over. We did just take a trip to Uganda. And spent 17 days there, and just in just the first 24 hours, we got news that tragically, two UK tourists who were on their honeymoon were actually murdered. And when we've been there so many times before, just thinking, wow, God, what do you have? Is this where we need to be? We thought we knew we were supposed to be there. And the first thing he said is, get your people praying. So I can see some of the people that are in this room that covered us in prayer. So we had a prayer team from Skylark. We had our I Got Shoes directors. Our family was praying. But over and over, we kept getting this same word. And this is where this talk comes from, that we are in Christ. And that's our hearts today, and so many beautiful scriptures that he gave us, and it's been formulated. So I'm going to pray. Just Father, I thank you that you are good, that you are kind, and most of all, Holy Spirit, we thank you that you are here. Father, I thank you that you see every individual one right now. Lord, we're not just a big crowd. But you see us and know us. Father, you know what's on our hearts. And Father, I thank you for all that you have this morning. And we just pray that you would make it so clear. In your name, amen. I love the word that says from Psalm 107:20 that says, he sends out his word and it heals us. And he's rescued us from the grave. That's a powerful thought, to know that the words of Christ, that the scriptures that he gives us, that stay in our hearts, that in those testing times, we'll be able to come out. His word is life. And I believe there's so much of his word that he wants us to grasp today. I have to say that when we had heard that news in Uganda, that fear kind of comes in. But as people were praying, we knew which way we were supposed to take. We knew over and over, you're in Christ. Colossians 3:3, someone gave it to us that said, you're hidden in Christ. So we knew that as we just kept trusting and listening, that we would be where we needed to be. We got to visit our schools. We have two. We got to go scout out a new school to help. And it's just so exciting that we didn't allow the enemy to intimidate us. We didn't allow the enemy to go, you're in the wrong place. But we could trust our Father in that moment. And, you know, for the majority of the time, we felt pretty safe and hidden. And there was just towards the end of our trip, we were coming from a formal gathering. So we stopped by a hotel to change clothes. And as I was getting my things out of the car, if you can imagine, we're on the side of the road. And I hear this ruckus, like, and this person is coming right at us, shouting all this stuff. And, you know, my spirit kind of jumped, and I thought, I'm going to grab my stuff. And just what I've learned from being a mom of, you know, from toddlers to teens, if someone's having a tantrum, I'm like, I'm not going to give you any attention. So I just turn my back, and I'm in the car getting things. Then all of a sudden, I think, oh, my gosh, is he right behind me? Am I crazy? What do I need to do? So I grab my stuff, and I said to our driver, I said, hey, I'm just going into this hotel, and I'm going to change. And I took off. And I happened to glance and notice my surroundings. There is a police station. So I kind of had a plan B that if, hey, this is... you know, if this doesn't go down very well, then I'm going to, you know, at least I know where to run to. Went in the hotel, and I'm waiting for Gary to come. He's right there. And I wait, and I wait, and I'm thinking, where is he? And then your mind starts thinking, oh, my gosh, is he okay? Well, my husband, he said that he's standing there, and after I took off, this person went for him. And this guy who is clearly fueled by alcohol and drugs and a wrong spirit looks at Gary and says, I'm going to kill you. Now, I don't know what you would do in that moment. Yeah, it's pretty quiet. It's like, whoa, what do you do? And I love that he just looked at him. And this is what he told me later, that he looked at him and said, in the name of Jesus, I silence you. I command you to leave. And this thing, not this thing, it's a person, but the spirit that was behind him, he left. That's who we are in Christ. And even in stark moments where we think, God, we need you, he's there for us. And over, I kept being drawn this week to this passage, and it's the story of the widow of Nain, and there's so much that's obvious that's happening, and I love when you meditate on the word and just go, God, what's here? He really pulled out some nuggets that I've never seen before, so I'm really excited to share this with you. We're going to read from Luke 7, 11 to 17, and I'll just read this with you. It says, soon afterwards, Jesus went to a town called Nain. His disciples and large crowd went along with him. As he approached the town gate, a dead person was carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a large crowd from the town was with her. When the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her, and he said, don't cry. It continues, when he then went up and he touched the bier, like a stretcher, they were carrying the son, and the bearers, they were carrying him on, and the bearers stood still. He said, young man, I say to you, get up. The dead man sat up and began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. They were all filled with awe and praised God, and said, a prophet has appeared among us. And they said, God has come to help his people. The good news about Jesus spread throughout Judea and the surrounding country. There's so much happening in this story. And Luke, the writer of this story, he's the only one that accounts it. So it's not in the other Gospels, interesting enough. But it's the first time that Jesus raises someone from the dead. And only three times in Scripture does he do this. The first being here with the widow's son, the second being Jairus' daughter, and the third Lazarus. And it's this moment that a large crowd is following Jesus, and they're coming with his disciples in to the town called Nain. Now, ironically, the meaning is beautiful. And right now, they come and are met with this funeral procession. So you can imagine it's anything but beautiful in this moment. There's a mother that's grieving. They see the young man on this stretcher. And the word says that it's the mother's only son, and she's a widow. The story describes that a crowd is around her. And in that day, if you imagine that they, if you can just picture, because we read stuff, but as you just start imagining, a funeral procession, they would have started at their home. They're making their way through the town, so her neighbors would have joined her. They had professional mourners. And as you read and study, the mourners were actually there so they could be wailing and crying along with the family members. So if they're wailing and crying, they wouldn't be embarrassed. That's why they had this group around them. And if you imagine, the custom at that time is if you encountered a funeral, you would either join them, and they were going out to bury the bones of her son and heading towards to where her husband was already buried. So they're going out that way. And the custom says you would either join the funeral or you would kind of move out of the way and just stand aside and let it carry on. And if you imagine, when we read this story right now, Jesus, the giver of life, the one who is life, encounters death. He encounters this young man who is dead. He sees the hopelessness of the woman. And I love in verse 13, it says, Jesus sees her. And over, even this morning, as people were giving words, I just kept sensing that he knows the one. He sees the one. And again, we're not just a big crowd, but he knows every single thing about each of us. And as the words were echoed, that he knows the highs, he knows the lows, he knows if our song has been silenced, he knows if that disappointment, that pain, emotional pain is so real that we're running to things that we have no business going to, but he knows. So it says Jesus sees her. And I love this because as you think about it, we have to understand the gravity of the situation, okay? So a widow in that culture, and the fact that she now has no male heir, she could not own property. She could not own a business. That makes her pretty vulnerable. That makes her someone in society that would be very dependent on others, possibly begging, taken advantage of. And so Jesus knows what's going on. And I also started thinking, my goodness, in that culture, do you realize anytime there was illness or death, they equated that with sin because they were under the law. In her mind, she might have been coming, going, my goodness, my husband's already died, and now my only son, what did I do to deserve this? What about the thoughts of other people? wow, what great sin have you done to cause this kind of punishment? That was going through, just like the Holy Spirit was just showing me a different dimension to this story, that these thoughts can be so real on her false guilt of like, hey, life isn't working out what I thought would it be like. And the Holy Spirit can go, no, that's not for me. So how beautiful that Jesus sees her. And I love it because several of us have taught on this. And the word that's described is a word that he sees her and he knows all that's going on, but he has such compassion that it says something. It's like from the depths. I keep pointing at Pete because you've used this, but your bowels. It says, and when I've read that before, I thought, it means like from the depths of everything you are. And it does. But it means one more thing. If you think about it, hope you didn't think I'm too crass sharing this. But your bowels, what happens? If you have coffee, you have an Indian, guess what? Pretty soon, you're going to have some action, right? And when I read this, it's like that thing that Jesus, it says, it's not just from the depths of everything in him, but it's something that moved him to action. He could not help but do something. My goodness, can you imagine if that's how we modeled what the Father did? Just like this morning, Jesus knew who he was, and generosity stems from identity. I know who I am, and I know that everything I have and I own is the Father's. I'm just a steward of it, and it's easy to give. It's kind of fun to give. So he sees her. He knows what's going on, and he's at that moment, he turns to her. And his whole being went out to her, and he said, don't cry. He knows everything. And I love that because at this moment, he then just simply turns to the young man on the stretcher, and he says, get up. And imagine the Son of God, the giver of life, he is looking death in the face. And he's commanding his authority over death right now. He had never done that before. That was the first time. And he gives us, when we are in Christ, when we are his, we have that same authority. That's what my husband did when someone was right in his face. The first thing he noticed, it's not the person, that's a wrong spirit. And we had a fun moment of just telling that story. One of our neighbors popped in, had a coffee. We ended up having dinner together. They're not a follower of Christ. And I started telling this story, and she's looking like, what? That sounds crazy. I said, well, you better believe in Uganda, they have witchcraft, they have voodoo, they have all kinds of stuff, and the spiritual realm is real. But what's so powerful is as a follower of Jesus Christ, we have his authority. And that thing that tried to come against us and intimidate us, we said, no, thank you. We know whose we are, and we know that his life, there's not one day in my life that will ever be taken away without him. There's not one, nothing can touch me because he has ordained my days. He knows every step. So if there's any, and I'm just getting a sense, if there's a diagnosis, an illness, something that's just like this, maybe impending doom, he says, no. Do not partner with that. That's not for me. He's called us to live free. He's called us to live fully in him. And we do that when we recognize that we're his. But I love it this moment, Jesus stops death. And if there's one thing that you could take away from today, this is it. that Jesus stops death. And we have to, in the beauty of Scripture, we learn from it, we understand the historical aspects, but he also says, I give you this, they're like words that you eat, you live. I couldn't help, but when I was thinking of this story, he says, get up to the young man. And do you know what it says? He sat up and he began talking. And the Holy Spirit said, there's a lot of people that have been silenced. You've been silenced at times. And there's things that the enemy has put on our head, in our thoughts. And he says, this young man, he begins talking. He has our life. He knows our life. He begins talking, he exerts his power over authority and death, and the crowd's response is powerful. It says there was a holy awe. A holy awe, like this. I don't know if you witnessed that miracle. I don't know if I'd be looking at the mom going, oh my gosh, your son is alive. I'd be looking at him going, wow, you're not dead. You're not about to be buried. But it said everyone was looking at Jesus. And there was a holy awe. They recognized, they said, a prophet is in our midst. And then they used this phrase that echoes actually the story of Elijah and the widow of Zarephath, because that was the first resurrection in the Old Testament. And these two stories are coolly linked. But it says, God has visited us today. And I wonder if in our lives, when we're in that place of complete despair or disappointment, emotional pain, and that cycle just keeps going, or there's something facing us that we just don't know how to deal with, we have to ask ourselves, what would it look like if I kept worshiping God? What would it look like if I didn't allow the enemy to silence me? And in that place, we recognize him. His power comes. His nearness comes. Another thing that stood out to me that I never saw before, many times when Jesus, in his ministry, he would meet people where their faith was at. We know, like from Jairus's daughter, from the woman with the issue of blood, the centurion, they had great faith. And Jesus met them there. But in this story, never describes the faith of the mom. It doesn't describe the faith of the young son. He's dead. And the only one there that has faith is Jesus. And as he just showed me that, I just felt so relieved, because it was this nugget that said, even when there's lack of faith, Jesus is not bound by it. Can I speak that over us? Even when you don't have the faith and you say, I just can't do this, he says, I've got you, my daughter. I see you, my daughter. Being in Christ. And the coolest thing, this story is about salvation. It's a beautiful picture of salvation. Jesus stops death. And if you imagine, I'm going to jump a little bit just briefly to Ephesians 2. We're not going to read it, but I'm just going to summarize. So we know that Paul, the Apostle Paul, wrote the majority of the New Testament. And Ephesians, Paul was into his journey on faith about 30 years when he wrote this. So he's writing from a real place of, I know my God. I know who he is, and because I know who he is, I know who I am. And at this place, he's describing in Ephesians 2 our condition without Christ. He's describing that we were dead in our trespasses. We were dead in our sin. And as I read this in the Amplified, what was just really caught my attention, the way it describes it, it says that we were dead in our sins because we were habitually following the pattern of the world. Basically, we didn't know any better. We're just doing what everyone else is doing. Grabbing what everyone else is grabbing, thinking the way they're thinking. He said, we were in that habit. And the way it describes it in the Amplified, it says that in our sins, that we were obedient to the powers of the air, meaning the enemy. Now, I don't know about you, but when I obey God and just step into something I'm meant to do, it's fulfilling, it's peaceful. But when I disobey God, I've never thought about it, that in that moment, I'm obeying the enemy. And it puts it in perspective that those tiny things that we choose, obey with Holy Spirit, ignore Holy Spirit, walk in what he said to do, give when he says give, nah, I'm going to deal it on my own. So it's either like a self life surrendered to the enemy or fully surrendered to him. So Paul describes that without Jesus, we are spiritually dead. I don't know if you've thought about that. A beautiful baby is born into this world, and we see they're physically just alive, and their mind, will, emotions, their soul is alive. But when we're born into this world, we're spiritually dead until we know Christ. And that's a sobering thought, but there is a solution. You know, Ephesians, Paul is saying, here's our condition. But then he says in Ephesians 2:4, he says this, but God, hallelujah for but God. Can you say that with me? It's kind of hard to see, sorry. Say, but God. So in your situation, wherever you are, but God. And it says he was so rich in his mercy that he's made us alive to him. And this picture of salvation in this story that is said that, you know, when life meets death and Jesus conquers death, he says, I'm the way to the Father. And without him, we're doing our own thing, but he says, I graciously want you to come to me. And we do that by faith. Further on in the scripture, in Ephesians 2, it says, we don't come to God by works. It's not a matter of doing good. God did not save bad people to be good. He saves us so dead people can be alive. He wants us to have life, and not life like the world says, but life that is eternal, the gift of eternal life. It's not by works. And then he says this further on. There's so many good nuggets. In verse 13, so there's a but God. So God just didn't leave us in this state of depravity, of aimlessly wandering through life without him. But he said, I've given you this solution, and it's my son. It's relationship with the Father through the Son, and then living in the power of the Holy Spirit. In verse 13, it says this, that but now, say but now with me. Okay, you're still going. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near. what a gift, the gift of Jesus, of his son, saying, you don't have to do life on your own. You don't have to figure it out on your own. But I'm here. When we were in Kampala, we were coming back. If you can picture, have you ever seen like when ants at a picnic find like something and it seems like there's millions of ants? Can everybody picture that? Well, we were heading up to a roundabout, and it was like five different outlets, and it was like that. There were so many cars. It took us so long to go up to this roundabout, and it was a pretty large highway. And if you've ever been to Uganda, traffic and all of that is crazy. They have bodabodas that are like these motorcycles that go every direction, every way. It doesn't matter if you were supposed to be going this way, they will drive on your side of the road to some of you are laughing, you've probably been there, and I'm like, this is crazy. And we're in this traffic kind of making our way up to this roundabout, and I just saw this beautiful scenario unfold. These two young children, very tiny children, kind of a little like 6 years old, were on the side of the road. And they're standing there, these two little boys, and they look like they're contemplating going across six lanes of traffic. And no doubt it could have been tragic. And our partner said, kids, they shouldn't be doing that. Kids get killed all the time doing this. And they're standing there. And I saw one little one tried to, come on, let's go across. And the other one had sense to be like, no, I'm not doing that. And he just stood there. And while this was happening, an attendant at the gas station, the petrol station, noticed this going on. And he walked over and he said something to the boys. And the next thing, he takes their hands and he leads them ever so carefully, looking. He couldn't see what they couldn't see what he could see, but he carefully takes them all the way across this traffic, risking his own life, and they get to the other side safely. And then he makes his way back. And as I saw this, it was like the Holy Spirit really stirred my heart and said, this is what I've done for you. I've brought you through, and now I want you to live from this place. And I stood in the back earlier when we were worshiping, and I was like, Lord, some people are really worshiping. And not until that there was a song, Dry Bone, The Bones. Help me with the words. I'm not going to sing it. All the earth will shout your praise, so hearts will cry. These bones will sing. And I was picturing that young man on the stretcher in this story. And he sat up, his bones were singing. And I just to wrap this up, I just feel like he wants us to do two things. That if you know Jesus, if you're a Jesus follower, being in Christ, everything that belongs to you, I'd love to, we should do a series on Ephesians, because, you know, you look at Ephesians 1, it says, Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the spiritual realm with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Did you get that? Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the spiritual realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. He's saying the source of all goodness, the source of everything that we have is from God. And it's bestowed on us from Jesus and the work that he did on the cross. And it's empowered in our lives through the Holy Spirit. And he says it's in the spiritual realm. And do you know what that means? It's eternal. We can't lose it. And he's saying today, walk in that place. I picture that stretcher. And are there things that's what we're holding on to? Because, you know, Jesus, when he touched that coffin, everything stopped. Broke protocol, but he stopped death. And I feel like he wants to stop death today. It might be death in marriages that you've become silent and you're just kind of existing together, thinking, how are we going to get through this? It might be going, God, what did I do to deserve this? How come I don't have that answer to prayer yet? I'm believing. I'm waiting. I know your promises are yes and amen. Why don't I have the answer? And he said, my girl, you haven't done anything wrong. Just stay in that place. Refine that faith. Mature. Walk with me. Walk with me. Whatever that pain and his presence go together. So can we stand? Let's do this. Thank you, God. Okay. Yeah. God, we just thank you that you have brought us out of darkness into life. When we were far away, you brought us near. So I just want to give the opportunity right now, if you have never, ever come to that place of going, I hear what you're saying about this person of Jesus, and I've been to church, but I've never said yes to him today. It's simply just knowing that he made a way. He died on the cross, and we are never saved by our goodness. We're not saved by works. It's by his grace. And it's simply by going, yes, I choose today to step into faith with you. So God, we just ask your presence to come. Thank you, Lord. Okay, I don't know if Rach, can you play a little? Yeah. Thank you, God. Yeah, thank you, Jesus. We thank you for salvation. We thank you that those of us that know you, that you're calling us, those things that have been in our life that feel like chains, he's saying, let go. Don't let them bind you. So if you can relate to maybe the son in the story that he's saying, get up, and maybe you've been silenced, would you give that to him now? It might be so many different ways you feel silenced. Maybe in relationships with others. At work, in your marriage. Jesus, thank you. If you can resonate with the widow, that you're like, what have I done? Lord, bring your healing. Just release that to him now. And it's as simple as that, just to say, here, we thank you. God, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for everyone here. Thank you, the hearts are drawn to you by your life and by your grace. We praise you. We thank you for that new life in us, the power and the love of Jesus Christ. And we choose today to walk in that. We choose to walk guilt-free because you've forgiven us. We receive your mercy. We receive your grace. Thank you that it's not a matter of measuring up. It's your truth that sets us free. So we cling to that today. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen.